It's what we like, it's what we want, it's resistance-free selling. Remember, we're learning how to influence without rejection or resistance, or at least influence and persuade others so they want to hear what you are talking about, what you're selling, what you're doing. That's important. Now, once you get in the door, of course, you have to get them excited, because everything you do once you're inside the door talking on the phone will either increase resistance or decrease resistance. So today I want to talk about hidden energy. That's an interesting word. I actually got that out of Korea when they've translated a lot of materials into Korean, or I've gone over there. When we talk about influence and persuasion and charisma, they call it the hidden energy. I think there's a lot of truth to that. There's some things about you or other people you like, you want to be around, you want to be sold. Isn't that the key, is to help them sell themselves, number one, and people just open up and want to listen with no resistance? That's what's incredible about resistant-free selling and having that hidden energy and having that, let's say, charisma. People want to be influenced by you. They want to be persuaded by you, and they want to be sold by you. So as I monitor top salespeople, there's a few traits and characteristics that come up time and time again that can define that hidden energy. They can all be learned, and you can work on all of them. So let's talk about them, and let's implement them. The first one we notice is passion. Passion, more than anything else, recruit the hearts and minds of the people around you. If I had to choose between someone that had product knowledge and knew everything there was to know, all the bells and whistles, versus somebody that was passionate about it, I would choose the passionate person every time. They would out-persuade, they would out-negotiate, they would out-influence, they would out-sell that person every time, because this is an emotional business and passion talks to our heart. And when I've done seminars before where I get people up to teach them to do persuasive presentations, one of the exercises I do is I have people come up and talk about something that they're passionate about. And we've seen some really interesting things, from frozen yogurt. They were so excited, and here's the flavors, and here's where you go. I mean, really, it's frozen yogurt. But the interesting thing is, when she was done, what did everybody want? Frozen yogurt. And then this other lady gets to talk about scrapbooking and this and doing that. And I don't know if you scrapbook or not. I don't scrapbook. I really don't even get it. But she was so passionate about it, I kind of started to get it a little bit. Now, I'll still never scrapbook, but I could understand why some people do it sometimes. That's what passion does. It recruits people. It's more important than product knowledge. It's a powerful, powerful thing. Now, passion is interesting. You can learn passion. What are some things that you can do to increase your passion about your product or service? Become a product of the product. It's very difficult to transfer that energy when you really don't know that much about it. Sometimes when you have that excitement about it, that energy, when you're passionate about something, there's a sense of mission. And another thing, when you're passionate about your product, your service, or idea, whatever it is, and someone says, well, it wouldn't work, I don't like it, why are you doing that? It doesn't affect you. It actually motivates you more. That's when you know you're passionate about it. And it really drives you. It gives you a sense of purpose. You're excited to convert people to your cause. You can't be swayed by the opinions of others. When you have passion about something, you're excited, you have zeal, and you want to share it with the world. That's important. And that's one of the things we're looking for. Now, the question I want you to ask yourself, when you're talking to a person, a client, or a prospect, here's the question you need to ask yourself. When you're talking to them, are you singing the song or are you singing the words? Let me repeat that. Are you singing the song or are you singing the words? What does that mean? When you're talking to somebody, are you going through the motions? You're saying the words, you're doing what you're supposed to say, you're answering the questions, and just singing the words. Are you really singing the song? Can they really feel your zeal, your passion, your energy, your emotion? That's what you're looking for. Because they can tell. They're not going to call you on it, but they can tell. And that's important. Every time you meet somebody, every time you talk to somebody, everybody can do business with you or know somebody that can. That's why it's so important to put all your heart and energy into it and develop passion. Increase your passion by the belief in your product or service, by tapping into that enthusiasm, by tapping into those emotions, really increases your passion. Norman Vincent Peale said, when one gets enthusiastic, the entire personality lights up, the mind becomes sharper, more intuitive, the entire life force and creative ability are enhanced. it's important to be enthusiastic, to have that energy, because if they're not excited about your product or service, if they don't see the need for your product or service, it's your fault, okay? You didn't transfer any passion or any enthusiasm. Now, fake enthusiasm would be hype. We see that all the time. Enthusiasm is critical. Now, where a lot of people blow up with enthusiasm is they read an Sales 101 book that said, be enthusiastic. But when you go into somebody's office Monday morning before they have their coffee and you're like, it's a great day today. How you doing today? It's so good to be. They're going to throw you out. Okay? So the thing you need to understand with enthusiasm is you always match someone's enthusiasm when you first meet them and you slowly bring it up. But if you're way up here with your enthusiasm and they're way down here, it actually repels people and causes quite a bit of resistance. And you can increase your enthusiasm. You have to ask yourself, are you enthusiastic? Is your energy contagious? Do people want to be around you? Do you have that, again, that hidden energy that causes people to want to be around you? And those are things that can be learned, some things we don't always talk about, but those are important. Passion, again, more than anything else, recruit the hearts and minds of the people around you, and that'll transfer that energy and that enthusiasm. Simple things, but very few people have mastered that. Because I can take two persuaders with the same persuasion IQ, the same leads, the same product. One's doing twice as many sales. Why? It's the passion. They're singing the song. They're not going through the emotions. They love what they do, and they're a product of the product. So you can really create that passion, enthusiasm when, you know, you find someone that has the knowledge, that purpose, and that passion, and it does go a long way. It does create, like we say, that hidden energy. Optimistic people have a hidden energy. They have a positive outlook in life. It's not sitting on the couch thinking you're wealthy and everybody loves you and you never leave the house. That's a form of delusion, probably. Okay, I'm talking about that for the most part, you believe eventually everything will work out. You know there'll be bumps in the road. You're still looking around corners, but you're optimistic because you have enough people in your life that are pessimistic and seem to suck the life out of you. And as we age sometimes, it seems people get beat up a little bit and become more and more pessimistic. But I'll tell you, if you want to be influential and persuasive and charismatic, you need to be optimistic. Having that positive outlook, giving people hope, having people see the future in your vision, the studies are astounding. Now, first of all, optimism, just like everything we're talking about today, can be learned, number one. Optimistic people perform better, live longer, stay married longer, make more money. I can go down a list of a lot of things, but deep down you already know that to be true, but it's one we can always work on, is when you're around people, do they feel better about themselves? Do they see themselves using their product or service? Do they have more hope? That's all a function of optimism. When you master optimism, you'll have the ability to recover from any setback or failure with an easygoing nature. Okay, and that's a rare quality for a lot of people. And the studies show, again, time and time again, that you can create an influential optimism. You can find a positive in all the situations. Again, I'm not saying you have to think everything is so positive and rosy. But reality, optimism, you know you're going to have the ability to bounce back sooner rather than later, or not at all. Another aspect of hidden energy we notice with top persuaders and top salespeople is attitude. Now, isn't that interesting? Yeah, have a positive mental attitude. Well, attitude's interesting because most people don't even know where attitude comes from. And let me tell you and make a mental note of this, whether you're dealing with somebody with a bad attitude or you're suffering from a bad attitude, attitudes usually come from expectations. What you expect to happen, what you're looking for, tends to happen. Because everybody's attitude usually starts in neutral, but throughout the day, they get cut off. Somebody says something, and it ruins their attitude. They become chameleons. And understand that attitude gets reflected. So whatever your attitude is, or the attitude you think you're covering up, they can sense it. It drains your hidden energy, and it's something that's very important with successful people. They have high expectation. Things are going to work out. It goes along with the optimism thing, and they work on that attitude. They expect, for the most part, that things will work out. Things will get better. And that's important when you're talking to people. That's a big part of that hidden energy. Such a simple thing, but most people don't even think about their attitude during the day. They don't even realize why their attitude has turned sour. They just picked it up from somebody else. Or again, somebody said something or cut them off or did something mean, and that destroys their whole attitude for the whole day. Biggest thing that we notice with hidden energy, to the point where people really want to be around you, be influenced by you, is charisma. And again, just like optimism, just like attitude, just like passion, charisma can be learned. Too many people, as I've done my research, say, oh, well, they're born that way. No, great, influential, charismatic people can learn all the skills. And Jerry Spence, he was a, I don't know if you recognize that name, he was a lawyer. He's never lost any cases. And he says, charisma's energy from the heart zone. Charisma's the passing of our pure energy to another. And there's a lot to be said by that when we talk about charisma. And there's just four elements that are important with charisma that you can start thinking about. And we could spend weeks on this. But charisma's that hidden energy. And there's four critical areas of charisma that you can start thinking, okay, what is my weakest link here to be charismatic? The first one is your core qualities, kind of your inner charisma. If you're not charismatic to yourself, if you're not exciting to yourself, you're not going to be exciting to other people. Part of this could be your self-discipline, your competence level, having a purpose and passion in life, your integrity, having courage. That's kind of your core qualities. Those are things that people expect in a charismatic person, to have that bravery, that courage, to have integrity, to have a purpose. The interesting one here that we notice with charismatic people that surprised me with the research was intuition. That should be part of your core qualities. Napoleon Hill talks about this in Think and Grow Rich, that successful people, millionaires, have the ability to make quick decisions. That a sign of failure is making slow decisions, because the inability to make decisions is a major cause of failure. And when we look at, you know, CEOs and charismatic leaders that are maybe running companies, they have access to thousands of pages of data, but ultimately they follow their heart, that intuition, that instinct, that urge. They don't talk about it much, but it's part of their core qualities. That instinct, that understanding the subconscious mind, that's a big piece of charisma. The other piece is your presence. When you walk into a room, do people notice, or they didn't know that you came in? You have to have a good presence. And this is over the phone too, a good voice presence. You confident? Do you have that energy we talked about? Do you come across as healthy? There's a direct correlation between how you look and your health and your weight. That all magnifies itself in your ability to influence. Are you congruent with your gestures? Do you have a good, even a good title and authority? Interesting one here is, are you contented? Are you happy? People don't like to be around sour people. That was something about presence. You radiate just a general happiness. You're able to connect with people. There's just something about you and your appearance, something to think about. We've been told our whole life not to judge, but guess what? Anybody know the answer to that? We all judge. In 30 seconds, we've put you into a category, so you have to make sure they put you in the right category. The third one we notice that this hidden energy and charisma is your ability to communicate and even deliver presentations. It could be in front of a group of people. It could be over the phone. It could be on a webinar. It could be one-on-one. There's something about communication, your presentation skills. Now, an interesting thing here, it used to be you just could get up there and educate. But when you start talking about the MTV generation and even most people now, we want to not only be educated, we want to be entertained. Our attention spans are low. We need to be entertained. Part of this delivery and communication with your ability to develop rapport with people, your people skills. Are you confident? Are you a good listener? Even things we notice here like a handshake. Here's an interesting thing. We could spend all day on this. But a bad handshake, and you've had them before, and you've probably given them before, a bad handshake will set you back 1 hour in building rapport. And you know that to be true, because deep down you're like, oh, really? And it just really throws you off. And so that whole demeanor, how you look and your delivery and your communication, how you give a presentation, goes a long way. And there's something really important here I need to tell you, is I've been studying top persuaders and those that give presentations for a long time. And there are a lot of people out there that can give incredible presentations. People will laugh, people will cry, but the moment they ask them to do something, most of the audience says, oh, that was nice, and they leave. Because when you add presentation with persuasion, things change a little bit, and it's important that you have both. The fourth one is your ability talked a little bit about this, to empower others. When people are around you, when you leave, how do they feel? Did you energize them? Stimulate them? Did you motivate them to become a better person? Did you encourage them? Did they feel your empathy and your compassion and your sympathy? Did you boost their ego or and their self-esteem? Did they see your vision and buy into your vision? You know, did you come across as credible? Were you respectful of them and others? Just a few things to think about when you really talk about that hidden energy. And this is more important than product knowledge. More important than product knowledge, but people always run to product knowledge first. And I see this all the time in, you know, home-based businesses or real estate. You know, people want to learn real estate, and so they run off. And if you had a personal development seminar or a real estate seminar, which one would everyone go to first? Most people run to the real estate because they want the tools. Then after, that didn't work. I'm like, no, you need some of these other tools. And a lot of times we focus on the wrong things. Now, 15% of your success is your core competence, and that's important. You do need that. But the other 85% are the things we focus on during these trainings. So what do I want you to do this week? I want you to think a little bit about your attitude. It's time for an attitude adjustment because we can all work on this. I want you to do better at managing your expectations before you pick up the phone, before you talk to somebody. Too many people in sales think about before that phone call, they say, well, they won't be interested, they won't like it, they're not the type of person. So manage your own personal expectations and don't be a chameleon. Don't let somebody else dictate your attitude. But I also want you to learn to adjust your prospect's attitude. If they're in a negative, foul mood and have a negative attitude, it affects your ability to persuade them. I've told you this before, that when people are in a negative mood or have a negative attitude, they recall negative things and why they don't like you and don't want to do business with you. But if they're in a positive mood, have a positive attitude, it does a 180 to where they will listen and they want to do business with you. So adjust your prospect's attitude. So the question of the day is, how do you adjust your prospect's attitude? If you can sense they're kind of in a foul mood, what would work? Having someone for them to listen to, building up their self-esteem, giving them a little hope, maybe a large bottle of alcohol. No, I'm kidding on that one. You might want to change the scenery. There's something about sunlight that will change people's attitude and perspective. And it just might be a variety of things that you can do. Telling them a story, humor will work. It depends on the person, but you need to be aware of that. To adjust that attitude, adjust the mood before you even attempt to influence, because too many people, oh, I'm here, I got to do it, versus really caring about that person. And when you can tap into this hidden energy, you'll see a big difference, not only in your personal relationship with the people close to you, but the people you meet on the street and the people you're attempting to influence. And again, this is not something you just want to try with the people you want to influence. Do it with everybody. Work on it all the time. It becomes part of you. It becomes one of your tools. And then you'll see a big difference in your ability to captivate people and to influence people. And the bottom line is you'll get other people to want to do what you want them to do and like doing it.